under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome on into this absolutely TGIF, thank God, it's Friday, May 22nd, 2026 edition, Your Defending Fathers. Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Got a great show lined up for you today, lots of information, history lesson in the second hour with Pastor Chatfield, and we're going to be talking a lot about Lansing, a lot about Michigan news, Michigan politics, as usual. Again, the big story yesterday, wrapped it up in the show. Mike Duggan, former mayor of Detroit, Democrat, chose to run as an independent third-party candidate, dropped out of the race yesterday, leaving it wide open for the Republican and the Democrat, Jocelyn Benson, to face off in November, no third-party independent candidate. So we're going to see where this all goes. Really, really interesting development. We reported on it, announced it actually yesterday, roughly at about 10:50 in the morning, as it came into the radio station as a breaking news story. So going to be continuing to follow that. Also, legislation in Lansing battling back and forth. Kind of interesting. The entire process, the entire process is going to come down to the economy, gas prices, and in Lansing, whether or not they can get a budget. The war in Iran has got to end. Gas prices, oil prices need to drop. The economy starts moving this summer. The Republicans will be looking good heading into November. They don't end the war. Gas prices are still high. Democrats are going to win. It's that simple. That's all this is boiling down to. So the question is, when is Donald Trump going to stop playing games with Iran? When is he going to stop these stupid negotiations, finish off the military mission, take out their bridges, take out their power plants, shut it off, turn it down, absolutely get them to surrender? There's not going to be a negotiated settlement, not one that we can trust them with anyway. So why are you wasting so much time? Get to it, get it over, get them to surrender, get the people of Iran to be fed up with this regime and get them riled up to the point where they take to the streets and overthrow the regime once and for all. Taking out their military leaders probably is what it's going to have to take. They're the ones that are sending the last few drones and ballistic missiles that Iran has. They're the ones that are shooting at the ships in the Straits of Hormuz. It's got to end. So stop playing games, Mr. President. Put an end to this thing. Get it done so that by the 4th of July, gas prices are down below $3 a gallon and the economy's moving. You do that, Republicans win. If you don't get that done by 4th of July, Democrats win in November. You're running out of time. Enough's enough. It's time to take action. Bold leadership is required by this president in Iran. It's that simple. Well, someone who wants to go to Washington, D.C. and have the president's ear, Justin Michael, running for Congress in the 1st District, he'll be on in the next segment. Short break. We'll be right back.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Conservative leader, just like the best. No holds barred, he's ready for the test. Quality efficiency, that's his game. Cut through the play, calm out the name. Crooked politicians led us astray. Bears on a mission, he's here to stay.
4747, tax-free. That's how much you'll save each year with Perry Johnson as governor. Perry will eliminate the Michigan income tax by cutting just 2 cents off every state discretionary dollar spent and by eliminating waste and incompetence in our government. Perry's revolutionary efficiency helped save Detroit's auto industry. Now he'll save our state. Perry Johnson for governor. 4747.
This message paid for by Perry Johnson for governor, because we must implement the mega audit to eliminate the waste and return the money to the taxpayers.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement: to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment here on this Friday, first hour, May 22nd. Joining us on the line right now is candidate for Congress, 1st Congressional District, Justin Michael is on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Trucker Randy. How are you doing today?
Buddy, we are so excited. Mike Duggan dropped out as an independent. We have a true Democrat versus Republican governor's race in November. It's going to be a very interesting August 4th primary, and you're a part of it. And I want to talk some foreign policy with you this morning. I don't mean to throw you a curveball or anything, but I definitely am getting frustrated with this war in Iran. A lot of people are upset. The gas prices, you know, as we're getting closer and closer, of course, Monday, Memorial Day weekend, people are complaining, you know, can't afford to go anywhere because gas is so high. You're traveling the district. I'm to the point where I've analyzed what I'm hearing from the president, the vice president, his cronies that are allegedly negotiating this deal with through the Pakistan leaders. You've got some foreign experience. You know the region. You know the area quite well. I'm saying President Trump has got to put a stop to these negotiations. We don't even know really who we're negotiating with, representing the Iranian people. It's time to crap or get off the box. I'm sick and tired of this thing. It's got to end. It's got to end now. My solution is use your military force to do what you said you were going to do. Take out the bridges. Take out the electric grid. Turn Iran dark. Force the Iranian people to stand up and revolt against the regime. Kill the military leaders. Whatever you got to do, just end this thing and let's get on with the business of getting the Iranian people to take over their country, stand up, and help them do whatever we got to do. Is that too radical in your opinion, or do you think are we at that point?
Well, I think the negotiations are actually more monetary than they are nuclear, and I'm going to explain that a little bit to you. So one of the biggest reasons why there's so much disturbance in the Middle East right now is China's influence in oil. And their major supplier for oil was Venezuela and Iran. But the issue is when you take oil off of the U.S. dollar, the global reserve currency, in the commodities exchanges, it weakens and hurts the U.S. dollar. And unfortunately, our allies in the Middle East, part of the countries in OPEC, have been producing oil at a cost per barrel that's much cheaper than U.S. production. And it's hurt the U.S. oil industry significantly, because we can't produce those barrels at that cost. Now, there's a significant price difference on how much you can pull oil out of the ground for the cost to pull it out in the Middle East versus the United States. It's like a $20 to $30 per barrel difference. So the U.S. needs to be selling barrels of oil, price per barrel is roughly $72 to $76 for it to be good for the consumer and good for the oil companies. But OPEC has been selling oil roughly, historically, at about $52 a barrel. So you're undercutting the U.S. market by roughly $20 a barrel. That's an issue. But what was happening was is Iran doesn't put that oil on the market, and they're selling it directly to China using what we call the petrol yuan. And that's causing a riff because BRICS, which is a trade organization created to kind of subvert the U.S. dollar's control globally, has been putting a lot of pressure on nations. And they're trying to offer trade agreements that say, listen, trade with us direct. Don't exchange your money into U.S. dollars anymore. And that's called de-dollarization. So the OPEC region is de-dollarizing by spending money, significant spends of money. They're blowing U.S. dollars, where they used to keep it as a reserve currency and an asset. Having U.S. dollars gave you purchasing power on the global market. They're spending it at rates we've never seen before. You know, the Saudi Public Investment Fund has been blowing billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars everywhere, just trying to liquidate their reserves of U.S. dollars. And what people are saying is they're looking to go towards a more modernized token currency, which is happening in the UAE as well, and Qatar. So what you have now is you have Iran that's circumnavigating the sale of oil on a global scale to India and into China, not using the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency. That's a problem. Because as that picks up, it gives strength to the petrol yuan, which could then try to move towards getting that global reserve currency status or bypass the entire trade market, where China has the power and the members of BRICS have the power to go to nations that are currently trading in U.S. dollars and say, listen, if you want any of our products or any of our services or access to any of our labor or human capital, you got to start trading with us in our currency. And that's going to be a digitalized token currency that they're going to eventually shift to try to modernize how economics on the global scale is done. So this war, not only is it about the safety and security of the United States, it's also about the safety and security of the U.S. dollar as being the global reserve currency and the strength for our nation, essentially the backbone of our entire financial system. So those negotiations are necessary right now because we want to try to find a way to get Iran back into the playing field. We want to try to get them somehow negotiate a way for us to get some of their oil back on the U.S. petrol dollar reserve currency so we can strengthen the U.S. dollar and we can strengthen that oil trade that we desperately rely on here in the United States. Now, people say we produce a lot in the United States. Why are we selling it? Well, when oil companies in the United States who heavily supported Republicans, I'll notate this, heavily supported Republicans in the 2024 election, they haven't been producing as much oil because they can't afford to do it. They weren't going to build a bunch of reserve stockpiles that they couldn't sell. That's not a good business model. So U.S. oil production was, in a sense, hurting financially. And so this is an opportunity. You're seeing these massive profits for U.S. oil producing companies right now. They're trying to catch up for about 2 years worth of getting beat up by OPEC once Trump came into office. So when you're looking, it's about a year and a half, but when you're looking at those factors, you're telling yourself, what's the overall global objective? Obviously, peace in the Middle East, stabilize it, whatever. There've been a lot of infrastructure issues that are coming out of the Middle East, which is slow in production. Saudi Arabia is really struggling right now. They're pulling back some of their de-dollarization because they're running out of money because they're not getting, you know, the ships through the Strait of Hormuz. You know, it's red light, green light in the Straits of Hormuz. It's we're open, we're closed. We're open, we're closed. We're open, we're closed. So there's been a lot of existential pressure in the region, rightfully so, for U.S. global dollar dominance. But right now, those nations are reconfiguring where their alliance is going to go moving further into the 21st century. And I don't know that the United States knows where that play is. They're looking at it from a perspective, we need to maintain our control over the commodities exchanges, especially oil exchange, because a lot of our existence is based on that petrol dollar, especially our financial strength and security. And when people look at it, people go to the gas pump and they're paying for it, but that's not where we're getting crushed. We're getting crushed in diesel prices because that's what drives America. So when you're thinking of it, we always look at it, how it impacts our pocketbook. We go and we pay $4.50 or $4.99 for a gallon of gas. We're like, this is brutal, but I'll take it if it's about national security. But when you look at the whole picture, it's about global trade. It's about being able to sustain farming. It's about being able to sustain trucking in our industry. You know, as a trucker, how much diesel fuel impacts the cost.
Oh,
of
sure. Country. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So, you know, we're looking at this from a 15,000 foot view, not just on the ground paying at the gas pumps. And I think that propaganda, obviously the news does a great job of spinning that for the local consumer, but you've got to look at it at the big picture. And if you damage the infrastructure of Iran, you're going to have a lot of factors that come into play, whether they're violations of the Geneva Convention. One of the biggest concerns I have of doing that, whether it's necessary or not to get people to come to the table, is what's the global impact going to be? What precedent are we going to be setting as the United States of America if people in the eyes look at it like we are attacking a nation and their infrastructure, going against the very laws that we helped write to make sure that things like the travesties that happened in World War II didn't happen again? And I don't want that to be the green light for China to go into Taiwan or a nation to attack the United States of America because they feel like it's just a green light to do whatever they want to do. I'm hoping that there's some civility in this world where people look at it and say, we don't need to take it to that step. Let's negotiate some terms and agreements that are in good faith, could be potentially mutually beneficial for a partnership down the road. And you hope that happens. Historically, it hasn't. especially with Iran in the Middle East, when you're chanting death to America for 40 plus years, it doesn't really give people a good feeling about them wanting to come to the table and negotiate in good faith. But you're hoping that you can put enough pressure on them or give them enough benefits to maybe see the light at the end of the tunnel and say, we're not trying to be the terrors of the West. We're trying to come in here and have, you know, strength and boost and profitability for the entire region for which you live. I just don't know that Iran's going to do that. They've spent the last 25 years of their life building a trade network that's outside of the U.S. scale. And I don't know, when you're talking about negotiations, if they see the mutually beneficial perspective that the United States hopes that they see, because they've been under sanctions for a long time. And again, their sanctions have been kind of red light, green light. We were strong on them. Then under Obama, we weren't that strong on them. We gave them some kickbacks and said, hey, you know, and then the nuclear program started again. So we shut it back off. And so you're in one of those situations where they've had to rely on their survival and their safety for years outside of the global trade market of the United States, because they haven't had access to be able to buy commodities and other things that their country needs, because the U.S. has cut them off. Like, we're not, you can't trade. And those are the sanctions. So, you know, U.S. foreign policy in terms of monetary policy has been kind of a touchy subject, because we've used tariffs or we've used access to our trading as a weapon. And when you do that, over time, countries start finding other ways to survive. And that's where Iran is right now. And I don't know if we've got good enough negotiators to make them feel like they're going to come back to the table with welcome and open arms. And so you're coming to a point where, are you trying to destabilize the region to put pressure on OPEC and other things to assist the U.S. dollar? Is it a big overhaul of the Middle East right now, or is it solely focused on Iran? And I don't know, we've had enough time to figure that out. A lot of the attention has been on Iran, but a lot of our allies in the region have also suffered. Kuwait, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, UAE especially, and a little bit of Iraq, although they're trying to work on different ways to ship a pipeline into the Med. So we'll see where that goes. That's been a project they've been working on for 15 years. But when you're looking at those factors, the Straits of Hormuz is a choke point, essentially, for tankers. And with the costs, we've seen a little bit reduction, maybe 20 cents per gallon, but we don't, that could just be the refineries. But our global stockpiles, especially U.S. stockpiles, are starting to diminish. On-hand reserves for gasoline and diesel fuel are at the lowest point they've been in the last 4 or 5 years. So we're in a situation right now where we've got to figure this out, or we're going to continue to suffer and hurt long through the midterms, which I think is going to hurt the Republican Party in the midterm election cycle, because we ran on cheaper fuel and cheaper food and all these social issues, and sure, it doesn't seem like much has changed. Right, gas prices are about the same. We're in a war, you know, or at least a conflict in the Middle East again. You know, there are factors. Grocery prices aren't stable. They're fluctuating because of the cost of shipping and other things. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of factors that go into that, but it just doesn't, people don't feel like they got what they voted for. And I'm hearing that. The constituents are concerned. It's expensive. I mean, I'm putting over $100 a day in fuel in my vehicle going out and meeting constituents. It's hurting me. So, you know, you're out there and you're meeting with people, and people are struggling, and they're not, if anything, Republicans aren't going to get excited to go and vote. And that's a concern.
Excellent, excellent monologue. I'm glad I teed you up with it. More information, JustinMichaelForCongress.com is the website. You stay safe out there, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, take care of yourself. God bless you.
Bottom of the hour news break, hour number one. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan.